from the shackles and the oppressions of slavery, which we're all still experiencing. And I want to end by saying this, that we have already been taught by our four leaders, the people have come before us, the people we have been taught, we have been schooled, we have been educated. There are people who have already taught us about humanity. There are people who've already taught us about equality. There are people who've already taught us and shown us the difference between justice and injustice. We should all know by now. It's 2001. We should all know by now. There shouldn't be any more doubt about what it is to be free and what it is to be a slave. The reason why I went to go take Columbus out is because I believe that Columbus is a representative of all the oppressors on the globe. And if they can keep a statue of an oppressor right inside your city, right inside the governmental building, never being addressed, all that says to you is that we conquered you, we defeated you, and we colonized you, and this is a living example, a living product, a living testimony of that you've been enslaved. That's what it is. Well, I'm not a slave. I don't care if I have chains. I don't care if I'm sitting in a cage. I'm not a slave and never will be. I will never be a slave. Because slavery is weak, and slavery is for the ignorant, and slavery is for the one who led a man carpenter. One, two.
Certain as the sun will rise and politicians have lying eyes, as sure as suffering multiplies, the rich will never be poor. As certain as in life you learn, the rich have money and time to burn, the rich will counsel you, wait your turn, in heaven you'll get some more. As sure as poverty plagues the land, the rich will give you a helping hand, as soon as mountains return to sand and oceans leave the shore. Count on nothing in life so well, that if the rich go straight to hell, lots are something they buy and sell, they'll never enter the door. Clearly all that you need in life to be at peace in a world of strife, the company of a man or wife and lots of money in store. Life is simple and so complete, with faithful friends and some bread to eat, a solid roof and a room with heat and stocks and bonds galore. The rich will probably tell you nay, it's inner riches that really pay. The rich have always got lots to say as they watch their assets soar. Count on nothing in life so plain, the poor have water, the rich champagne, the market rises to this refrain, the rich will never be poor, the rich will never be poor. Sure as life is a strange affair, in need of some robust repair, the rich don't actually have to care, the rich will never be poor. Maybe people are all the same, but the rich are playing a different game. You take your chances and take your aim, you'll never even the score. The rich can't help it if life's unfair, the richer people, they really care. They often mention it's hard to bear, they're burdened at their core. Some say no, but it's plain to see, the rich are different than you and me. The rich are different as they can be. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor.
And that's Carol Denny. Album the same name. I played it last show. I'm going to probably play it next show. That's The Rich Will Never Be Poor. You can get that cassette. Give a call to 423-HUFF. We'll give you the address. Great stuff. Carol Denny, one of my favorites. A couple of announcements here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That's what you're listening to. I'm Robert Norse, also known as Bathrobes Pierre Robert. And the show is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. They're going on until 1:30. Who knows? Maybe even longer if they let us. Probably not. Little Red Hen is probably going to come and peck me out of the studio. A couple of announcements. I went through a long, grim discussion of the Green Party, which fundamentally, you got a lot of good-hearted people who I think are hobbled by an over-apprehension about, or an overweighing of politicians and their value, and the value of pleasing them. And also, I think there's some ego stuff happening. I think a few activists are trying to engage in exclusionary behavior, working out some old grudges. They somehow don't like being criticized. They're rather thin-skinned about how slow they're going with Fitzmaurice. And that we just have to keep raising the issue at City Council. Fitzmaurice is a human being as a human being, like the rest of us. But as a politician, he has to be judged on his record. And that is something we have to keep bringing up. And if the Green Party won't bring it up, well, then we have to bring it up all the stronger. And I think Steve Argue is going to be doing that. He's meeting today at the Town Clock, planning to organize for a rally on April 29th at the Town Clock. 2 o'clock at the Town Clock. Meet with Steve Argue. I've got to see the flyer on the wall. High rent. We need rent control and a rent rollback. Tickets for sleeping. We need to legalize sleep for the homeless. City government who doesn't listen. We need to take to the streets in the largest possible numbers. It's our town. Sunday, April 29th at 2 p.m. And again, planning today, April 15th at 2 p.m. at the Town Clock. Meet with Steve Argue there. That's in about an hour, I guess. So that's a call for him. Also, another quick report from the California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project. There was a conference call on Thursday. Actually, it was on Friday. And after some kind of urging, and because we've been getting from, I don't know, I think from perhaps from people like Lydia Blanchard, certainly from people like Paul Brindell, otherwise, you know, we all oppose the sleeping ban, let's put it that way, some criticism of myself and Becky Johnson and other activists around the City Council coffee clatch. We brought the issue of this injunction that the mayor has gotten, barring us from the City Hall, which is coming back to court on May 29th. We got the Northern California Civil Rights, California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project, an organization designed to attack civil rights abuses statewide, to say end the injunction, or actually it's end all injunctions against that penalize activists, and specifically this injunction too, that's covered by that issue. But we actually got the entire California Homeless Civil Rights Organization to, it's called the California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project, to agree to that in a conference call on Friday, and we put that out in a press release. I see a caller trying to call in. Try again, caller. I will pick up for in a moment. I didn't notice you there. Sorry, my eye wanders sometimes from the phone indicator, so please call back. Also, any Green Party members, including my critics, who want to call in and say their piece, this is your station as well, and you are invited to do so. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Good afternoon, Robert. Bob.
But this doesn't sound like a Green Party member to me.
But I did want to ask about that. As philosophically, regarding the Green Party meeting where you were debased and no one would defend you, why do you think that was, that no one would defend you? And I have a response, but I want to see what yours would be.
Well, I think that in some situations a kind of group mind begins to operate, and people become apprehensive about speaking up for fear that they will be tarred with the same brush. I think there are also people who don't want to defend me because they don't want to be seen as partisan. You know, they want to sort of stay away from the issue. It's more like, you know, I don't want to be seen as in anybody's corner. I mean, they don't want to alienate other people in the room who feel passionately. I mean, I know the feeling when you go into a new town. There was this big conflict between, for example, activist Carol Denny and Dave Nadell up in Berkeley. You probably don't know them. Probably very few in our audience do. It had to do with People's Park, and it was half a decade ago. But they were going at each other tooth and nail, and they were all. And then Carol Denny particularly was asking me to denounce Dave Nadell, and I didn't want to denounce him, and I didn't want to denounce Carol. I was in the same position that perhaps many of the Green Party members were in. They didn't want to denounce anybody either. The problem that I saw is that if you look at the specific allegations, you have to consider the truth or falsehood of those allegations.
Well, you can. You can. And history is full to the brim of examples like this, including the Holocaust. Okay? And certainly in the glory of progressive or leftist politics in organizations like the Green Party in Santa Cruz, I have no doubts that this double standard is extremely common. Don't make waves, go along. You don't stand up for principle as an individual. If there were principled individuals in the Green Party would have no reason to exist, in my opinion. So I come back to ask you, Robert, why would you expect anything different than a group think, go along?
Well, call me. It's interesting. The Rabbi Chaim Levin, who when he was in town, he was at this earlier Green Party Homeless Working Group, which is just the small group that brought this Purge North's resolution. It actually was a give us monitors, but it was sort of motivated by this desire to restrict me and exclude me and that sort of thing. And he sat in on this meeting and he kind of said, what are you guys doing? And to me, he said after the meeting, he said, you know, we all know that you're an asshole. The real question is, are you an idiot as well to go back to these meetings? And I think that, who knows?
Unless the idea be to present the hypocrisy, there really is no purpose past a certain point.
Right.
In pushing that particular envelope. Those that want to see these kinds of things, it's quite clear. I have nothing against the Green Party or any other party for that matter. I think that as far as I'm concerned, the Republicans have certain things correct.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem becomes that the party mechanism itself becomes more important than any idealism. It becomes about power. And this is invariably true in organizations, generally speaking.
Well, it depends.
And
I mean, there have been
the Green Party in Santa Cruz.
Well, you know, Bob, there have been times of real idealism when, for example, if you look at the Republican Party after the Civil War in this country, if you look at the abolitionist movement in this country, I think
there are high notes in history, Robert, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not organized by, and I'm going to speak candidly here, and I'm fond of Santa Cruz, and I'm fond of a lot of the folks that I meet politically, but it's not organized by mediocre bureaucrats. That's
not
the shining moments in
history.
Are
you calling Green Party members mediocre bureaucrats? I'm afraid we're going to have to investigate you and send a monitor to your house. What is your address?
I'm no longer astounded by this kind of stuff. In fact, It kind of riles me in a certain way. In fact, even I had a recent minor little situation that just brought home the same old message. If you can't be sloughed off with a quickie one-liner, then you're a problem, okay?
Well,
if you can't be included or sloughed off with a quickie one-liner, then we have to just slam you and make you into a pariah, Robert. And anyone that associates with you, we're going to create a difficulty for them, or we're going to make it look like they might be ostracized too, and they might not get the advancement that they would get within the Green Party were they to ostracize you along with us.
That was, in fact, my concern about this meeting and my concern about the shunning tactics used by Lydia David Silva and others on the internet around me. You know, these are activists that I think we should all get together and work.
You will find,
you know,
I'm
that's
sure,
what's been happening.
A couple of people that will admit that you're not all that completely a disaster. That there are certain
things. Are you praising Norse on the air?
Well, I will give one example, and I think it is a rather interesting example, Robert. And you brought it up a little while ago on your show. It was you, Robert Norse, that stopped the CPRB from holding closed meetings about how to revise themselves. All right.
I confess.
I could go on and on.
Well, you were there too, Bob. Yep. I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, but it was you that presented the issue to me and the community, Robert. And it's one of many examples. I don't care for your style across the board. I'll be honest with you, Robert. But I certainly admire your persistence and your consistency. You're consistent with your issues. It's about principle with you. One might question the tactics that you employ, all right? But we could question those with anyone.
Mm. Well, right?
I question why, and we've known each other for a while now, why you would really expect anything different from the Green Party or
what I expected from the Green Party was because I knew I'd spoken with a facilitator who I believe, frankly, and I mean, I believe she was overwhelmed. I knew the homeless working group supposedly wanted this resolution not to involve a personal deal of names about me, and was going to be done as a consent agenda item, which means it wasn't even going to be discussed. It was just going to be quickly passed, and they'd appoint monitors that were acceptable to me as well to, you know, come to the meeting and just look for general behavioral problems if there were problems with their meeting. The reason I went to their meeting was because I had a resolution I wanted them to put forward, which was a pretty mild resolution. And I also was aware that they might not pass it, but this to me would in essence indicate the real situation in the Green Party, if there were any doubt. Now, I guess that's what you're saying, is there wasn't any doubt a year ago, there wasn't any doubt 2 years ago. Why is there some doubt now? I mean, and the answer is, I guess not. I guess the answer is the Green Party is not interested in raising this issue in a timely, clear fashion before the city and before the city council and before their Green Party mayor. And I would love to have Green Party members call up and say, this isn't so, or better still, go to city council, and there are several council meetings, actually 3 council meetings this week coming up. 3 in 1 week is quite something. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But I frankly think there's going to be absolute silence on this issue from Lydia Blanchard, from Linda LeMaster, from Nick Whitehead, from the members of the Green, the homeless working group that supposedly is working so feverishly on this issue. These people are not willing to publicly make statements.
Well, then they shouldn't. If they're not willing to and they don't have to, they shouldn't.
No, as individuals, they certainly shouldn't. But the question is, you know, I mean, what are they doing?
Is it insincere with their platform? Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
Is it insincere with their supposed platform?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're a Green... it's not so much that they are insincere. They are very sincere. I think they all favor ending the sleeping ban. But the problem is the mayor, whose coattails they are covering, unfortunately, or I guess they're looking for a way to clutch at his coattails and get him, hey, please pay attention to us, you know, come on, you know. But, you know, it's not... They're not being willing to call a spade a spade. They're not willing to bring the issue up. I mean, we have the Armory closing this month. We have more. We have 2 homeless people died last week. What's going on? We mentioned Ryder, one of them. Another one is a man who died in a car.
An ambiguous example recently, within the last 10 days, mm-hmm. politician I'm talking with denies having said something 2 minutes earlier mm-hmm. and kept denying it until I kept pushing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm glad
all
you
right.
did.
So this is
who
was
the politician?
Was I shocked? No.
Who is the
no
politician?
No longer shocked. No, I won't mention that.
Really? But, was it a public deal or was it?
It was a public setting.
Well,
but the conversation was private.
Oh, okay.
All right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But to have denied it after I pushed it, that you just said this a couple of minutes ago, mm-hmm. you know.
Let me ask you, Bob.
Right. So I'm no longer surprised, Robert, and I'm sorry, but power over principle is a common tactic.
Of course. I mean, the problem, of course, is to find the ways to activate that principle in all of us so that we respond to it the way they did when they tore down the Berlin Wall, the way they did when they overthrew. Essentially, there's a movement that overthrew slavery, and that mobilized people.
Time.
Yeah, it did.
The
but
Berlin
there
Wall. When did the Berlin Wall go up in 60? In Kennedy's time.
Yeah.
The 60s, the early 60s.
Did it go up in Kennedy's time? I think it was up. Wasn't it up before then, in the 40s? I'm not sure.
The airlift, I think it was the early 60s. The Berlin airlift. The wall went up, I think, 61, 62.
Well, the Berlin
like
airlift was in 1949.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Yeah.
You may well be right. The wall might have gone up, you know, after
But what
the
I'm
war.
Saying is the gay rights movement, you know, the various surges of the movement for women's liberation and the right to be treated as human beings and equals, this is a fundamental thing which we all, to some extent, resonate to at some basic level of our beings, and there's a sort of a critical mass, and I don't know when that critical mass...
When it's safe.
When it actually happens.
I think you're correct about the Berlin Wall. It went up sometime in the 40s because we had the airlifts and all that.
Right.
So let's just say that took 40 years. No, there were people that knew that it was wrong 40 years before.
Well, it's been 20 years we've been with the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz since 1979, or 78 actually, 22 years. Maybe it's time. Who knows when that moment is? See, that's, can't tell.
Well, you know, another example that I think, I do believe most folks in Santa Cruz would agree with, that the hemp laws are illogical, and irrational,
you got
and wrong.
It. Mm-hmm.
But now you will rarely see an in-office politician address the issue. They will address it behind the scenes, and they'll say, yeah.
Well, I'm not really talking...
What they'll say about board, Robert, is that, well, we just don't have the vote.
Right, well, I'm not really talking about or to the politicians. I'm talking to activists. See,
this is
my interest. I don't...
Well, activists, you can divide into the category of those that are going to stand for principle, which means they could be wrong on occasion and they'll have to express remorse,
mm-hmm.
and those that are in it for the petty power, and they're going to go along with the agenda that'll get them the petty power.
Yeah.
And that means winning.
Well,
that means you don't stand up for a principle unless you're going to win, and you're going to win now.
Well, I think that certainly that's always an aspect. But speaking of principles, how's the principle of rent control doing? You're a man who's keeping an eye on that one.
I went to the rally last Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think it's always good to support these things.
The rent rage rally.
The phrase rent control was mentioned a couple of times,
but not really by the politicians.
You won't see that, Robert. Not
Christopher
in this
Crone
time
looked
with
real
these
uncomfortable.
Folks. And it's not to be unexpected. When and if rent control is trumpeted from the chamber of the city council, it'll be when it's a foregone conclusion.
Now, what about San Jose? Anything happening over there?
You know,
any updates?
To get personal for a minute, I'm in the midst. The Hemp Expo is the big deal for me right now.
But
as far as I know, they are pursuing just cause eviction ordinances. They're pursuing organizing into a tenants' rights union. Whatever the outcome, it is a noble effort, and they are right. I think that when the history is written on tenants' rights, that those that are with tenants' rights are right.
Right. For folks who want more information on that, you can give a call to TRUSC, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, at 426-0644. We're running out of time, Bob. Let me thank you and kind of hustle on. Is there anything else you want to say?
I marvel that you still have this
naive belief
towards believing that you're going to walk into some organization and they're going to deal with you on a principal basis.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. I get it could be a masochistic streak.
And the town would miss you if you were not there, Robert.
I would hope so.
Okay, so right. Hang tight.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye. Would you miss me? Come on. Call in and tell me how much you love me here at 427-3772. This is your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert. We're running into the last 20 minutes of the show. Bathrobes Pierre Robert here. Do you love me?
Oh, Robert, I love you and everybody knows it, but what did you just accuse me of saying?
We have a member of the Homeless Working Group on the line.
And a Green Party registered voter.
Well, I want to commend you. This is, of course, Linda LeMaster, who we've spoken
with. What's left of her.
You've been, of course, you know, working on this issue for 2.5 decades.
I was working on how people treat one for being homeless before there was a sleeping ban.
Indeed.
As you were.
Yeah. Well, indeed.
Along with Stone Soup.
I challenged you to call in, and I guess... it's of course hard to speak about this issue directly to you. I haven't had a lot of conversation with you because
You usually don't talk to me because you're pissed at me.
Well,
but I haven't heard you put words in my mouth that I didn't say before this.
Now perhaps if I've been putting words in your mouth, what words have I put in your mouth?
On the radio just about 15 minutes ago.
Well, you should certainly correct me. Why don't you go ahead?
You were saying that I had some sort of compromised position about the sleeping ban because you associate me with this Green Party, whatever, mess, muddle. I think my position about the sleeping ban is clearer and more simple than what I read in your resolution, especially the early copies of it. I don't think that you could compromise civil rights like the mayor intends to do by offering this plum and that program and, you know, this pigeonhole and that chicken coop.
Well, let me ask you this. I proposed a resolution
which I support.
That was relatively simple. Yeah, you didn't block it anyway. I didn't.
I support it. I told you I support it,
right.
And I told the people you were collaborating with.
Let me point out, though,
the meeting. That's a little more than didn't block, please.
Well, no. What you did do was you joined in the witch hunt both at the homeless working group 3 weeks ago, and yesterday at this Green Party meeting that took up so much of the time of the meeting that there was no time to even discuss this resolution.
That's not
and
true.
Three
the
people
reason it wasn't discussed
it.
Is because people blocked it because they didn't understand it. It wasn't about was there time for it.
Well, it's hard to understand how people wouldn't understand it when, A, it was brought to the steering working group a week and a half before and then not discussed there either, and it was mentioned to the...
Yeah, it wasn't really brought to the steering group.
Oh, it was, but they failed...
I was there. You weren't.
No, I also have gotten...
It was sent, but it was not received, okay?
No, it was received. It was simply not presented. It was in the folder...
That's what I'm saying.
It's clarified. It was in the folder of the man who headed the organization. He walked out in the middle of the dispute, handed the folder to a second person, Jeffrey Smedberg, who then blocked the resolution. He didn't even present the proposal. Let me finish
blocked
this first.
Blocked it at the yesterday meeting.
Yes. Smedberg was the facilitator of the steering. This is kind of very complicated for people who are on
it's
the air. They don't really,
when you go to it.
They don't really understand it. But the reality was the convoluted Green Party process. I went through, I dotted every I and crossed every T. He failed to present this at a steering working group, hence it never got on the agenda. Hence it was shoved to the very bottom of the agenda, although the homeless working group people, yourself among them, were in fact informed that it was sitting on the table. It was passed around. There were copies available. Now you came in late, so perhaps you didn't catch the gist of it. But what I'm saying to you,
I got a copy. I sat where I sat deliberately.
Right, right. What I'm saying is that there was no action taken by the homeless working group to put anything on the agenda around homeless issues as the Armory was closing. It was left to me to do that, because your homeless working group, Linda, and it's not really my group anymore, because
I don't see it
because,
being anymore yours
well,
or mine.
Well, no, let me finish.
That's the problem with consensus.
Because for 3 weeks, this group has refused to meet. Maybe you can explain why.
I don't know if it's refused to meet. Nicholas has declined to call a meeting until he knows what the hell's going on. I would if I were in his shoes.
What does that
you?
Mean? What does that mean, what the hell's going on?
We don't know whether we're going to be able to meet with the thing we requested from the larger green group or not.
No, wait a minute. The
facilitator to date hasn't called a meeting.
Let me point
plus
this out.
Plus, people had
wait
dragged...
Wait a minute.
Let me finish this one sentence,
yeah.
And then you can start. Plus, people had dragged out the few tasks that came out of the last homeless working group meeting, and they weren't even done until
yesterday.
Okay,
this is too vague for our audience to understand. What actually has been going on at the homeless working group is supposedly a process of accountability for Tim Fitzmaurice, a letter to Fitzmaurice inviting him to appear, and other concerns around the sleeping ban. But none of these matters were discussed in the last meeting, which was 3 weeks ago. The only thing that happened was a massive, essentially, I would call it a smear session on me. You didn't call it that at the session, Linda. Instead, you jumped on.
I
want to point
out.
I
didn't say I wasn't a part of it.
Well,
and you were a part of it.
If you're repudiating what you did, I'm pleased to hear that. Is that what you're doing?
I didn't mean it that way. I'm saying the sum total of that meeting was a smear session.
Yeah, okay.
It was unfair.
I'm glad that you admit it.
What you were talking about earlier was this group mind. I think that took effect somewhere in that meeting. I don't like it. But in subsequent to that meeting, I have not been a part of that kind of thinking.
I would take issue with
that. How would you know?
Because I heard you yesterday at the meeting, Linda. I heard you yesterday doing
you
a similar thing.
You must not have heard me.
You went through a long litany of, you acted as though it were, it was interesting. I heard another person afterwards describe it this way, that you were at a lynching and you were saying things like, you know, there are good things about this man and there are bad things about this man, but I don't know if a lynching is really the best approach.
So
this is what you were doing.
Paraphrasing. Give me a break. Let's have a little integrity.
Let me get back to, rather than personally get into, you know, your failings on this issue, because that is really what you and I need to talk about, probably not on the air. What I want to point out is the failings of your homeless working group and you as a member of the homeless working group in not pressing the homeless working group to get together a resolution before the Green Assembly so that the Armory people, the people who are being dumped from the Armory either on the 15th or at the end of the month, get some kind of support from the Green Party. That was the point of this resolution. And your homeless working group, which is more concerned about whether Lydia Blanchard can sit in the same room with me. No, I'm not going to stop it. That's the truth. It does not want to talk about homeless issues. Okay, well,
that's not true.
Okay, what is the truth?
The group is not working. There are a lot of people, I agree with you from what I've heard you saying on the radio, including before I called in, who think that if you weren't there somehow it would be working. To me, you know, like, where does that end if you start doing that? The point is the group is not working. If it has the will to work, it needs to be fixed. Now, to turn that into what you were saying was a paraphrase of some unknown other person that I'm at a lynching trying to mollify things, that's not honest. I mean, that's almost deliberate distortion.
Let me put it this way.
That's not what I was coming from, and you're still not hearing me.
I think I am. But what I'm saying is that there are plenty of people who don't like each other in this community
on different
issues. But when you come into a meeting, you talk about the issue. You don't spend your time attacking and trying to read that person out of the group. And if that issue comes up where somebody tries to read that person out of the group, you don't argue about it. You say, hold it. This isn't on the agenda. This isn't about homelessness. Let's get back to the issue. I have never heard you say that at either of those two meetings, nor did anybody else except for me. And that is why, and perhaps it was the group
That's
mind
not
phenomenon.
True. Well, you are not the only one. Becky did that. David Silva did that. Ray Grulich did it twice. You just only remember the part that serves what your point is.
Let me put it this way.
I'm actually
talking about your behavior in the homeless working group and yesterday. Yesterday, a lot of people, in a way, tried to get back to the resolution that we were talking about, which was about me anyway.
It was not about you. And that guy, Joe, that twisted around so it would seem to be about you, did a disservice to everyone. And I'm not going to have you cut off my head because of something he said. Okay? At least not without yelling out in pain.
You know, I didn't hear you say that yesterday in the Green Party
meeting.
It's very nice for you to go on the air and talk about it, and I appreciate that. But when it came down to the matter yesterday at this meeting, you didn't say, this isn't about Robert.
That was the main thing I said. I said it several ways.
No, you didn't say, we have other problems in the group that we need to address. I didn't hear that then.
I know you didn't.
Well, perhaps.
I mean, you're saying over
and
over that I didn't say it. You must not have heard it.
I'll give you
the benefit of the doubt.
I don't think you said that. But maybe, you know, I could be wrong.
That was the main point I was making.
No, the last thing you said was that Robert says that he has gotten emails from
no one, and I emailed him.
And you ended on that statement.
I finished what I had to say to the group, and then I broke one of their rules and said directly to you,
Linda, I'm sorry. You know, you and I need to have this conversation, but not on the air. What we need to do is get back to the issues.
You're telling everybody in Santa Cruz that I talked about you when I was talking to you.
You can't come to a meeting to talk to me, Linda.
I did that.
To a meeting where I'm being lynched to talk to me. That's the inappropriate place to come to a meeting. You can't do it that way.
But if you
have to fight the lynching.
If you feel that I was helping the lynching instead of trying to frame it back on what it needed to be, you weren't even listening to me. You're just knocking us all down like we're the same club. You're someone different, even though you're supposedly a registered.
Anyway, what I'm saying is the issue.
I'm no more or less culpable than you in the dynamic you're talking about.
Linda, above and beyond me, the issue is homeless people and the Green Party's failure to do anything around this issue.
What I wanted to talk to you about was a sleeping van proposal such as you tried to propose yesterday.
Are you prepared as a Green Party member to go before the City Council on Tuesday and say, I really regret that our Green Party had no resolution, but I, as a Green Party member, say to you, you must follow our platform. Are you prepared to go before the City Council and say that, Linda?
I cannot speak for the Green Party legitimately any more than you can.
No, you say that as a Green Party member.
No, I cannot do that. It's illegitimate.
You don't say, you say, I do not speak for the Green Party, but as a Green Party member who believes in the Green Party platform, I speak to another Green Party.
Let me finish, Linda.
If you're not going to do this, and I really don't want to talk to you on this issue because it seems to me
listening instead of talking?
I want to answer that question first.
The mayor and anybody else in this town that it's a heinous and criminal law.
What does it have to do with whether the Green Party is ready to know it or not? I want to know if Green Party member Linda LeMaster is going to walk up to the mic on Tuesday and say to Green Party member Tim Fitzmaurice, I am not speaking for the Green Party, but I, as a Green Party member, want to point out to you, this is in the plank of the Green Party. You're a Green Party member, and I want to know when you are going to start respecting this. Are you going to do that on Tuesday, Linda?
Well, I've already done that to the mayor, but what I'm trying to tell you is it's an illegitimate approach.
Answer my question.
I am. It's illegitimate to pretend that syntax has any validity.
You're going to do it on Wednesday? There are three city council meetings this week. You can do it any one of the three. You're going to do it on Thursday?
I don't know the difference between the three meetings.
I'm sorry. Anyway. See, this is the problem we have.
You won't do it on Tuesday, you won't do it on Wednesday, you won't do it on Thursday. You're not doing it as a green. You have to do it as a person.
You're not
or some
doing
other
it,
thing.
Linda. You're hiding because you're afraid of what other
I'm
Green Party members
hiding.
Are going to say.
My position is the same, whether the Greens get behind it or not. And I'm out front about it, and I've been for more than a decade.
I happen to think it's a little more pure than yours because it doesn't hide behind a program or a shelter.
It's a real civil rights position.
Is there anything more you want to say since you won't say this publicly to the mayor? You won't
I
say
have.
It. No, you have never said that, Linda. You have never in your life
I
said, I am
to
a
him
green, no.
as a fellow Green
no,
Party
no,
member.
No. Publicly, Linda. Publicly in front of a forum where everybody can hear.
I think you need to read up on your party you just joined.
Linda.
You're not hearing me, are you?
I am hearing you. I'm hearing you, and I don't like what I hear. That's my problem.
You don't
I
like
don't
like it.
And because everybody else in the Green
Party
has
party
a
party when you don't believe in consensus.
Hey,
you don't believe in this fundamental
Linda,
way
not,
of operating.
No. Your conscience isn't a matter of consensus, Linda.
I'm not talking about conscience.
Ben, your conscience.
A political party doesn't have a conscience. I have a conscience.
Linda.
You probably have a conscience.
But we have reached an impasse. Is there anything more you want to say?
Yeah, politics is different than conscience. What I wanted is for you to say what your sleeping ban proposal is, because it's better than nobody talking about it at all.
I've talked about it already.
Okay.
If you've been listening, you've heard it, and you can always get a copy
of
it.
I have a copy of it. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. It needs to be stated in public, including
no,
the
you need
meeting.
To state it in public, Linda.
The I Gre- told you are- I would, and not speaking for any Greek.
And nobody's asked you to do that. I've said walk,
I
haven't ever... I've
nobody
never,
legitimate
no, so,
has.
Just a moment. You are going to walk up to the mic. I want to get this real clear. And you're going to say, I, Linda LeMaster, a Green Party member, but not speaking for the Green Party, am speaking to Tim Fitzmaurice, a Green Party member, and putting up the Green Party platform. This is not what the Green Party says. This is what Linda LeMaster says. And I want to know, Council Member Fitzmaurice, Mayor Fitzmaurice, Green Party Member Fitzmaurice, why you are not following this Green Party platform. Are you going to say that to the
Let
mayor publicly?
Let me get this clear. You want me to waste half of my 3 minutes talking about what I'm not in order to say what my position is?
You know what I'm saying. Just give me a yes or no, will you?
I did. I already did. I can't speak that on behalf of the Green Party.
Okay.
Otherwise, that's...
Okay, Linda,
I agree.
You are obviously unable to understand, though I said it five times to you, that it's not on behalf of the Green Party. It's on your own behalf. But you are using the words Green Party.
What you're saying is you can fling around your membership.
I've got to go, Linda. We're going around in circles here.
I'm
we're a little bit too loud. Is there anything more you want
to
say?
I didn't mean to... Go around in circles.
I am really sorry, too, and I'm sorry that what I'm hearing on the phone also makes me even more sorry. So is there anything more you want to say?
No, I just think we should all be down there about this sleeping bed and not
worry about
clubs that don't know where they're at.
Why don't you start with your own feet and your own voice? Thank you very much.
That's what I'm talking about.
I apologize. I had to end that conversation. It was upsetting me. I asked the same question five times, and I kept getting this diversory answer. What I heard from the caller was she would not make the statement, even though it was not on behalf of the Green Party, just on her behalf, to remind Fitzmaurice he was a Green, she was a Green, and this was in the Green Party platform. She, like all the rest of the Green Party members in that room, it seems to me, are unwilling to stand up and publicly make that requirement of the mayor. Not as a Green Party position per se at this local Green Party, because they're going to take forever to find a position, but just to point out the obvious to this man. And I notice, again, the same problem. And in a way, it's very instructive, that phone call we just heard. And I apologize for getting a bit overheated. I apologize to Linda, but I've got to tell you that therein, I think we can see the sickness here. That people somehow feel that mentioning the contradiction between the mayor's position, pro-sleeping ban, and the Green Party position, anti-sleeping ban, and that is in writing, and the fact that the person speaking is a Green Party member, and that the mayor is a Green Party member, that's taboo. There's some sort of censorship on that issue. It seems a different thing to do that than to say the Green Party holds you accountable, Tim Fitzmaurice, and has said you can't do this. The Green Party hasn't said anything, and who knows if it ever will. I don't know what the Green Party is going to say. I know what Green Party members are not saying publicly. And nobody's talking about end the sleeping ban. That's a nice phrase for activists. Every activist in town says end the sleeping ban that I can think of around this issue. It's become, obviously, established wisdom. What is not established wisdom, what is not being done, and what should be done, is people pointing out the contradiction between the mayor's position and the Green Party platform. Particularly if you're a member of the Green Party, for God's sake. Now, what is so hard to understand about that? And I don't understand. And I apologize for getting into a lot of that personal stuff there on the air. This is still Free Radio Santa Cruz, and it looks like we may have an extra minute or two. I don't hear any hens clucking at the door. There is a city council meeting coming up Tuesday the 17th, and this is going to be at 3 p.m. It's on transportation. And it is at the city council chambers. Then on Wednesday the 18th, there is a council meeting at La Relise Room at the Seymour Marine Discovery Center at Long Marine Lab, 3 to 5. And that's going to have Chancellor Greenwood up at UCSC, Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice, our Green Party champion, updates on the city general plan and the UCSC long-range development plan, which, of course, is the housing plan that's stealing all the low-income housing from town. City population growth and UC Santa Cruz enrollment growth. City and university transportation program. Discussion of the community infrastructure. Housing planned by the city, UC Santa Cruz, and planned jointly. Discussion of future city council meeting at the university, public comment at the end notice, and closing comments by Fitzmaurice and Greenwood. So if you want to say anything at this session, you will have to wait till the end of the meeting. This is a way of screening out the public. Perhaps Green Party member Linda LeMaster can stand up and talk about these principles to Tim Fitzmaurice. I hope she does. And I hope other Green Party members do the same. And I hope other non-Green Party members do the same as well. I got to admit it, I resent what happened yesterday at this Green Party. I resent the kind of abuse I'm getting, and I resent getting it from activists who should know better. So there's no question about that. But it looks like I have lost the situation. The eggs are rolling through the studio. The hens have arrived. So I have got to roll. And it looks like those beaks, those sharp beaks, are here. So let's go out on a song from Carol Denny, give the hens an opportunity to put their show in. And we'll be coming back to you on Thursday, 6 to 8. I want to remind you also, if you're interested in the Berkeley protest on Tuesday night, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833.
Well, Americans are very friendly people, as countries right next door will recommend. We never mess with other countries' business, but if we do, we hope we'll still be friends. We care about the way you run your country, and we'd like to be supportive if we can. If someone's running out of ammunition, we're proud to be the first to lend a hand. Yeah, let's just have the next war at the White House, so our president won't have so far to go.
Don't forget, Steve Argue organizes at the town clock at 2 o'clock the Sleeping Band protest coming up later this month. Join him.
We know, but still we love it. We love it, but it's all so far away. Let's cook it home next time instead of cater. In honor of the good old CIA. Yeah, let's just have the next war at the White House, so our president can really see the show.
Play with her toys. She don't want to go out and dance. She don't want to get in my pants. Just stay home and vibrate. I'm getting big blisters on my hands, thinking maybe I ain't a man. Man, she ain't gonna get impregnated, 'cause she's vibrator dependent. Don't want me in it. Says I don't make the right noise. Been replaced by batteries. Hey there, fellas, can't you see? She just wants to play with her toys. Play with them, honey. There she was in the bedroom. Sound like she's shaving her tallywhacker with a battery powered device. Me, I'm prancing around out in the living room. Got the demon chism build. I mean, I got a severe case of it. A lot of pressure on my brain. Eyeballs turning white. Grabbing my tallywhacker all the time. I look her in the eye and I say, baby, 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 please. Special place, yeah. I want to get a ring around the face, honey. You know what I'm talking about. When the full moon comes around, she said, "Moji Woji, you got to do something for me if you want to do that." I said, "What's that, honey?" She said, "Moji, you know what you got to do? You know I got these battery-powered things here, and you know I got some things that plug into the wall. Put 110 volts on my tallywhacker. Mojo, I want you to go out to the store. I want you to get me something, something big and ugly. Gigantic vibrator. Vibratorzilla, it'd be. Unplug refrigerator, Mojo. Get Vibratorzilla, bring it in here, and put 220 on the money, honey." I said, "Baby, you done got crazy." And then, Mojo, you can put your face in a special place. But you're gonna have to. Gonna have to make a little noise. Took her down, see a nurse, cure her of this terrible curse. Doctor said, "Lady, you're afflicted. Ma'am, you've got a terrible habit. Now I told you not to grab it. I pronounce you addictive. She's vibrator dependent.